Hi, friends, and welcome to the Wayfinders Church podcast. Wayfinders Church wants you to find life. We think that happens in a few key ways, and we are so glad that you have joined us on the journey. The podcast is a conversation, and so we'd love to hear back from you. You can always email us at wayfinders@wayfinders.church. And with that in mind, this is part A of an ongoing series called Begin in the Beginning, part A of the episode called Dynamic/Image. But before we get to that, some really cool things coming up. First of all, on October 1st, we are having a grand opening Stay for Lunch Sunday. It's going to be bounce houses, it's going to be a petting zoo for the kids, and then it's going to be a catered barbecue lunch for all the adults. So you can come. We're starting a brand new series called Burned, and I can't think of a better way to start October than with the idea of burning something. But the whole premise of the series is dealing with hurts, wounds, hypocrisy, and what do we do when we have been burned. Okay, so before we jump into Dynamic/Image, we are going to jump right into the AJH Minute. That's Abraham Joshua Heschel. And every AJH Minute, we take a quote and then we unpack it for a minute. So here we go. Here's the quote. Just to be is a blessing. Just to live is holy. I love this line for so many reasons. Just to be is a blessing. Just to live is holy. I wonder for us if our perspective starts there. Like, we can have a defensive posture where we say, why is this happening to me? Or we can have an open posture which says, wow, everything I have is a good gift. Look at all that is around me. Look at how blessed this world is. God must seriously love us to be able to breathe this air, to be able to have, you know, thought, all the things that go into making us us. And your perspective on life is going to explicitly dictate how you see the sacred. So instead of looking for answers to everything, faith invites you to see life as blessing, to live in this idea that the fact that there is life is in of itself a holy, wonderful, sacred thing. Okay, now back to our episode, Dynamic/Image, Part A. I say Part A because you can't separate dynamic from image. I kept trying to, and they're intertwined. So since we don't have enough time to get through the whole conversation in one episode, we're splitting it up into two episodes. And that is this. The world as we know it is headed somewhere. In fact, it's all headed somewhere. And religious teachers or theology teachers will call this eschatology, study of the end times. The eschaton is, you know, that's the word for the end. And so where is all of this headed? Like this life, this world, where is your faith taking you? Where is your life? Like, are you going to be buried and that's it? You're just going to be in the ground and you're done? Are you going to be a resurrected body? Are you somehow going to have a spiritual self that disembodies from your physical body and floats away to some utopian world in the sky? Where is this headed? Where are the wars that are taking shape in our world headed? Where are our politics headed? All of these things are headed somewhere. And inside the very DNA, the very fabric of the way we're created, is the idea that it is dynamic. It's not static. And you intuitively know this, of course, right? Because you see your life as an unfolding soap opera. Well, at least I do. Maybe you don't. But today is different than yesterday. Tomorrow is going to be different than today. I can't relive the same day as much as I want to be Bill Murray in Groundhog's Day, which I don't actually want to be. And so this entire world is headed somewhere. And in the scripture, it is as well. Last week, I introduced you to the word dasha. And the word dasha is the word produce in Hebrew. And God sings into the world, into existence, and he tells the seed-bearing plants to produce and the animals to produce. And then he tells us to produce and be fruitful and multiply. And so we're supposed to be taking this world somewhere. It's headed somewhere. And in fact, in the scope of Scripture, it's headed somewhere specific. Interestingly enough, it starts in a garden and it ends in a city. If you were to take out the sin problem of the Scripture, you'd have a very short pamphlet. It'd be Genesis 1 and 2. And Revelation 21, 22, right? So you have these four chapters where creation happens and presence with God in a garden, and it ends with presence and with God in a city. And a city is just a bunch of complex gardens working together in some sort of sustainable economy, or at least that's what you would hope the city should be. So here's the real question. Where are we headed? Well, if we start at the beginning, we have to understand that if in the beginning God, and that raises all kinds of questions like, you know, where did the matter come from? Was the matter already there and was the spirit hovering over it? Was God just playing with the matter the way that we can't possibly understand? And so, you don't do very good trying to ask questions that there is no possible answer that will ever make sense. You just need to ask questions as to why that would make sense. And there's a theory around creation called ex nihilo, which is the idea that God creates out of nothing. But if in the beginning it was God, and it was just God, then creating space for creation, for matter, for you, for me, for created things would be like, if all of everything was encompassed in God, then he would have to pull back part of himself or limit himself and create a space for otherness. So that's the ex nihilo idea, is that there is this creative love space that God pulls open from himself for otherness to exist. And in the blessings, the barakah of the days, God calls us very good. And so the order of the creation, that flow that is in there, the separating and the filling and the kind of the chaos to order is all picturing this. It's headed somewhere. It's headed somewhere. So it, in the end, in Genesis 2, it's God hanging out with Adam and Eve in the garden, creating this world together, naming the animals, taking strolls together, talking in the evening, being in true community. And then all of the sudden, we enter the sin problem. And so if you go before the sin problem, we're called to create the future that God is dreaming of in community with God, where we take this world to a good place. We create more of goodness, of love, of space for love and space for those things. And so we have to be able to envision that future. There's this line after Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit, and we'll get into that in a later episode. There's this line that God utters to Adam and Eve, and he asks, "Where are you? Where are you?" Now, the idea that God would be asking us, where are you, because God's not aware of where we are, is kind of crazy, right? Like, if he's God, shouldn't he know that, right? If God is God, shouldn't God know that? And the answer is, of course. So why ask the question? Sometimes we ask question not for answers, but so that the person we are asking the question to can ask that of themselves. So when God asks, where are you? It's not for God's benefit, but for ours. Where are you? And when he's asking, when God is asking that question, it's a question to you and to me. It's an ongoing question. Where are you? Do you believe that you are in this world where everything is good? Or have you somehow come to a conclusion that it's not? And so if the world is dynamic, I need to frame something for you. Your free will is at play in everything that goes on. The future is somehow dependent on you. Are you going to create the future that God dreams of? Are you going to take the dynamic production of life and love and goodness and mercy and justice? Are you going to take up that mantle and push the world forward? Or are you going to do something else? The world is dynamic. You can't relive the same day. You can't go backwards. It's all headed somewhere. And you and I get a say in where it's headed. The question of where are you is a DTR, a determine the relationship conversation. I don't know if you had one of those with your spouse or your girlfriend, boyfriend. If you've had that moment where is this going? What is this? Where's this headed? The DTR is, where are you? So a couple of things to keep in mind as we talk about the dynamic future that God is dreaming of. What is that future? Well, in the end, the Revelation imagery is a new heaven and new earth colliding into this space where our bodies are resurrected and made new into glorified bodies, and we are permanently forever in the city with God, in full community with him. Now, that is a beautiful, beautiful picture of where it's headed. But I don't think it's just headed there someday. I think it's actually headed there right now. And I don't mean that I'm declaring like the rapture is going to happen right now. What I'm declaring is that you and I can dynamically produce the world that God is dreaming of right here, right now, in this space. We can create love space. We can call things very good. We can wake things up to the fact that you can be present with God's Spirit in this life. You can be in communication. You can receive the goodness that God has called over you. You can project that into other people's lives. In fact, you can carry this world forward to a good space. The future isn't about escape, but participating in the world and life that God dreams of, and that starts here and now. In fact, the idea of heaven itself in the Jewish consciousness is largely about wherever God's presence is reigning and ruling in this life, in this world, in your life, in my life. And so we have to see the world, if we're going to begin at the beginning, we're going to have to see the world with original goodness. There are so many of us who have bought into the idea, have been taught, and subconsciously, it is 100% there. We believe it, that we are in a static state of depravity. Depravity means that I'm unable to live the life that God dreams of. And I'm not saying that we don't fall short of that. What I am saying is that the awareness of original goodness, of how good things were created, means that our true selves isn't our bad selves. Our true selves isn't our sinful selves. Our true selves isn't our fallen selves. Our true selves is our good, the way that God created, our God version of ourselves. And that is what we get to proclaim. When we start with original goodness, the idea that the end is that that goodness is fully restored. So the future isn't about escaping. It's about participating and making the world the life that God dreams of. But how many of us have been told, I'm sorry, you were born into sin. You'll always be a sinner. You'll never be able to overcome sin. You are defined by sin. You're evil. Your thoughts are evil. How many of us have lived there? When we make that our snapshot of how we see ourselves, how in the world are we able to progress? How in the world are we able to become? It's only when we begin to see the world as dynamic. It's headed somewhere. So my free will has the ability to shape the way the world is headed, and I can create God's presence here and now. I can participate with what God is calling us to here and now. I can create a love space here and now where people get to know their true selves in Christ. So, my friends, how do you see the world? Do you see the world as a snapshot, a dynamic of, you know, a static picture of, oh, this old evil world, if I could just escape these evils? Or do you see this as a space for creative love? Because the dynamic future, where we're headed, the eschaton, the end, is one where we are in community that is fully sustainable, one where we are in the presence of God, one where we are able to fully love ourselves and others. Let's start awakening the original goodness in people and just see what we produce. Much love, my friends.